Ha never seemed to have much compassion for the lazy or those who squandered their means and then never had anything for their necessities. But for those who were genuinely in need, his heart was as big as all outdoors. It was from him that I learned the greatest joy in life comes from giving, not receiving. It was Christmas Eve, 1881. I was 15 years old and feeling like the world had caved in around me because there just hadn't been enough money to buy me the rifle that I wanted for Christmas. We did the chores early that night for some reason. I just figured that Pa wanted a little extra time so that we could read the Bible. After supper was over, I took my boots off and stretched out in front of the fireplace and waited for Pa to get down the old Bible. I was still feeling sorry for myself, and to be honest, I wasn't in much of a mood to read scriptures. But Pa didn't get the Bible. Instead, he bundled up again and went outside. I couldn't figure it out because we'd already done all the chores. I didn't worry about it long, though. I was too busy wallowing in self-pity. Soon Pa came back in. It was a cold, clear night out, and there was ice in his beard. "Come on, Sammy," he said. "Bundle up good. It's cold out tonight." I was really upset then. Not only wasn't I getting the rifle for Christmas, now Pa was bragging me out in the cold and for no earthly reason that I could see. We'd already done all the chores, and I couldn't think of anything else that needed doing, especially not on a night like this. But I knew Pa was not very patient at one's dragging one's feet when he told them to do something. So I got up, put my boots back on, got my cap, my coat, and my mittens. Ma gave me a mysterious smile as I opened the door to leave the house. Something was up, but I didn't know what. Outside, I became even more dismayed. There in the front of the house was the work team already attached to the big sled. Whatever it was we were going to do was not going to be a short, quick, little job. I could tell we never hitched up this sled unless we're going to haul a big load. Pa was already on the seat, reins in hand. I reluctantly climbed up beside him. The cold was already biting at me. I wasn't happy. When I was on, Pa pulled the sled around the house and stopped in front of the woodshed. He got off, and I followed. "I think we'll put on the high sideboards," he said. "Here, help me." The high sideboards? It had been a bigger job than I wanted to do with just the low sideboards on. But whatever it was, we were going to do what would be a lot bigger with the high sideboards on. After we exchanged the sideboards, Pa went in the woodshed and came out with an armload of wood. The wood that I spent all summer hauling down from the mountain, and then all fall sawing it into blocks, and then splitting it. What was he doing? Finally, I said something. "Pa," I asked, "what are you doing?" "You been to Widow Jensen's lately?" he asked. The Widow Jensen lived about 2 miles down the road. Her husband had died a year or so before and left her with 3 children, the oldest being 8. Sure I'd been by, but so what? "Yeah," I said. "Why?" "I rode by just today," Pa said. "Little Jakey was out digging around in the woodpile trying to find a few chips. They're out of wood, Sammy." That was all he said, and then he turned and went back into the woodshed for another armload of wood. I followed him. We loaded the sled so high that I began to wonder if the horses would be able to pull it. Finally, Pa called a halt to our loading. Then he went to the smokehouse, and Pa took down a big ham and a side of bacon. He handed them to me and told me to put them in the sled and wait. When he returned, he was carrying a sack of flour over his right shoulder and a smaller sack of something in his left hand. "What's in the little sack?" I asked. "Shoes. They're out of shoes. Little Jakey just had gunny sacks wrapped on his feet when he was out in the woodpile this morning. I got the children a little candy, too. it just wouldn't be Christmas without a little candy. We rode the 2 miles to Widow Jensen's pretty much in silence. I tried to think through what Paul was doing. We didn't have much by worldly standards. Of course, we did have a big woodpile, though most of what was left now was still in the form of logs that I would have to saw into blocks and split before we could use it. We also had meat and flour, so we could spare that, but I knew we didn't have any money, so why was Pa buying them shoes and candy? Really, why was he doing any of this? Widow Jensen had closer neighbors than us. It shouldn't have been our concern. We came in from the blind side of Jensen's house and unloaded the wood as quietly as possible. Then we took the meat and flour and shoes to the door and we knocked. The door opened a crack and a timid voice said, "Who is it?" "Lucas Miles, madam, and my son Sammy. Could we come in for a bit?" Widow Jensen opened the door and let us in. She had a blanket wrapped around her shoulders. The children were wrapped in another and were sitting in front of the fireplace by a very small fire that hardly gave off any heat at all. Widow Jensen fumbled with a match and finally lit the lamp. "We brought you a few things, madam," Pa said, and sat down the sack of flour. I put the meat on the table. Then Pa handed her the sack that had the shoes in it. She opened it hesitantly and took the shoes out one pair at a time. There was a pair for her and one for each of the children. Sturdy shoes, the best. Shoes that would last. I watched her carefully. She bit her lower lip to keep from trembling, and then tears filled her eyes and started running down her cheeks. She looked up at Pa like she wanted to say something, but it wouldn't come out. "We brought a load of wood too, madam," Pa said. He turned to me and said, "Sammy, go bring in enough to last for a while. Let's get that fire up to size and heat this place up." I wasn't the same person when I went back out to bring in the wood. I had a big lump in my throat, and as much as I hate to admit it, there were tears in my eyes, too. In my mind, I kept seeing those three little kids huddled around the fireplace, and their mother standing there with tears running down her cheeks with so much gratitude in her heart that she couldn't speak. My heart swelled within me, and a joy that I'd never known before filled my soul. I had given at Christmas many times before, but never when it had made so much a difference. I could see we were literally saving the lives of these people. I soon had the fire blazing and everyone's spirits soared. The kids started giggling when Pa handed them each a piece of candy, and Widow Jensen looked on with a smile that probably hadn't crossed her face for a long time. She finally turned to us. "God bless you," she said. "I know the Lord has sent you. The children and I have been praying that he would send one of his angels to spare us." In spite of myself, the lump returned to my throat and tears welled up in my eyes again. I never thought of Pa in those exact words before, but after Widow Jensen mentioned it, I could see that it was probably true. I was sure that a better man than Pa never walked the face of the earth. I started remembering all the things he'd done, and gone out of his way for Ma and me and many others. The list seemed endless as I thought on it. Pa insisted that everyone try on the shoes before we left. I was amazed when they all fit, and I wondered how he had known what sizes to get. Then I guessed that if he was on an errand for the Lord, that the Lord would make sure that he got the right sizes. Tears were running down Widow Jensen's face again when we stood up to leave. Pa took each of the kids in his big arms and gave them a hug. They clung to him and didn't want us to go. I could see that they missed their Pa, and I was glad that I still had mine. At the door, Pa turned to Widow Jensen and said, "The missus wanted me to invite you and the children over for Christmas dinner tomorrow. The turkey will be more than the three of us can eat, and a man can get cantankerous if he has to eat turkey for too many meals. We'll be by to get you about 11. It'll be nice to have some little ones around again. Sammy here hasn't been little for quite a spell." I was the youngest. My two brothers and sisters had married and had moved away. Widow Jensen nodded and said, "Thank you, Brother Miles. I don't have to say, may the Lord bless you. I know for certain that He will. Out on the sled, I felt a warmth that came from deep within, and I didn't even notice the cold. When we had gone a ways, Pop turned to me and said, Sammy, I want you to know something. Your Ma and me have been tucking a little money away here and there all year so we could buy a rifle for you, but we didn't have quite enough. Then yesterday, a man who owed me a little money from years back came by to make things square. Your Ma and me were real excited, thinking that now we could get you that rifle, and I started in town this morning to do just that. But on the way, I saw little Jakey out scratching the woodpile with his feet wrapped in those gunny sacks, and I knew what I had to do. Son, I spent the money for shoes and a little candy for those children. I hope you understand. I understood, and my eyes became wet with tears again. I understood very well, and I was so glad Pa had done it. Now that rifle seemed very low on my list of priorities. Pa had given me a lot more. He had given me the look on Widow Jensen's face and the radiant smiles of her three children. For the rest of my life, whenever I saw any of the Jensens or split a block of wood, I remembered. And remembering brought back that same joy I felt riding home beside Pa that night. Pa had given me much more than a rifle that night. He had given me the best Christmas of my life.